If hope is your destination, if heaven is your goal, then you must pack according to the reality of your destination. How silly would it be if heaven is where we're called to, but we pack for earth? Fair enough? I mean, how silly is it if our destiny is eternal life with Jesus Christ, but we spend all our time focusing on the here and now? That makes no sense.
Hello again, friends, and welcome back to Live in the Light. My name's Craig Turnbull, and I'm the host of this program, and with me in our studios is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. We're packing our bags today, aren't we, Robbie?
Yeah, that's right. That's a great way to say it, because we're looking at a message that's coming from 1 Peter chapter 1, which is one of my favorite texts within the New Testament, speaking of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. What does it mean? That Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. If we believe in him, that we are saved in him, that we now have new life in him, what does that mean for us? Well, it means that we have received a massive dose of eternal and forever abiding hope within us. And so one of the things you got to know, and maybe you're listening here today and God moved powerfully in your life, or people you know, you got saved even this past weekend through a gospel message. You need to know you're packing them. You're packing your bags with a whole lot of biblical hope. And that's what the message today describes for us. We have a suitcase as believers in Christ. It's a suitcase of hope. But the question is, what do we pack in our suitcase of hope? And that's what we learn. So we're praying you'll be immensely encouraged today through the Word of God as he speaks to you and renews your mind and allows you to know. And he says, hey, my child, you have so much hope. Define it, rejoice in it, and let's live it. Excited today for 1 Peter chapter 1.
All right, a strong message for us today for hope, and we hope that you're ready for it. Let's get our bags packed and go now to God's Word, and here again is Pastor Robbie.
Please open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. We are continuing on our series, which is entitled Hope and Holiness. Again, going through this letter verse by verse over the next several weeks. You might ask, when is this series going to end? Honestly, I'm not quite sure. But let's just say this is definitely going to take us well into the new year as well. I want to make sure we're on the same page as we get into week number 2. Our tagline for this series is, when my destination determines my direction. It's when you know where you're going, hope, that's hope. Hope is a place, it's heaven, and it's what we're filled with the expectation of what God promises. When you realize that hope is your destination, well, then it determines your direction. So I want to make sure we're on the same page and none of us are confused. You can look at it at this practical example. Let's say as a Canadian, you get to go on a vacation. And you get to go in the middle of January to, let's say, somewhere warm, like the very southern part of Florida. Well, as a Canadian, if that's your destination vacation, right away, a couple of things happen. You get excited because it's above freezing there, right? And so you like the, most of us like the warmth, and we are anticipating a great time. And when Florida is your destination, you start to pack accordingly. You start to pack according to the vacation you're about to take. So you put in a bathing suit, most likely, and some short sleeves and some shorts, and you maybe put some suntan lotion in, maybe some sunglasses, because of where you're headed. It determines your direction. Then you get the car ready, or maybe if you're privileged enough, you get to fly, and you're making the arrangements, and then the trip begins. But once the trip begins, you're all in. You're all in with your thoughts. You're all in with your time. You're all in with your energy. You're all in with your money, because you're headed towards your destination. And so your destination determines your direction and really your life along with that. This is what Peter's trying to say within 1 Peter. He's just trying to say, if hope is your destination, if heaven is your goal, then you must pack according to the reality of your destination. How silly would it be if heaven is where we're called to, but we pack for earth? Fair enough? I mean, how silly is it if our destiny is eternal life with Jesus Christ, but we spend all of our time focusing on the here and now? That makes no sense. This is what Peter is saying. He's saying to the suffering believers in these provinces through Asia Minor, he's saying, listen, keep looking towards your destination and now live according to your destination. If hope is where you're headed, holiness then becomes your direction. And so that's why today, here's our overarching question, which I'm really excited about. Today, our sermon title is called The Suitcase of Hope. Okay, so if I'm headed to hope, what should I be packing? Should I pack my suitcase full of the earth? No, help us, Lord. But listen, a lot of the time we do. A lot of the time we are taking, check this out, I got our hope suitcase for the weekend, all right? Here's our hope suitcase, but literally Peter's like, if this is where you're going, what are you packing? And he says, loved ones, this is what you need to pack if you're truly headed towards hope. And that's what our text unfolds to us today. So what we get to do is we get to open our suitcases spiritually and say, what is in my suitcase? What am I packing in my life right now? And what needs to come out? And what needs to go in? Because if I'm a true believer in Jesus Christ, there really can't be any confusion here. It's clear in God's word. 1 Peter 1, chapter 3. Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, just look for the hope everywhere within this text. He's like, praise God. He goes, why? Well, verse 3, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, by the way, I struggled in this passage this week because every verse is its own sermon. And so I'm like literally in my study going, like pulled apart because so much is here. And so it's just so rich. Look at verse 4. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Hope. In this you rejoice. What? Salvation. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory. Here's more hope and honor through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him. Hope, and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Hope. And verse 9 is as hope-filled as anything else, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I mean, talk about a text built on the foundation of hope. And here's what we're going to see in this passage. Four items I need to pack in my suitcase of hope. Four items that are non-negotiables in my suitcase of hope if my destination is truly heaven with Jesus Christ. Here's the first item. It's this. My soul is alive. The first thing you need to get in your hope suitcase is the reality as a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm not dead. I'm alive. My soul has been made alive because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Peter starts off with, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise him, honor him, worship him. Why? Because of what he's done. Verse 3, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The phrase that is the hub of this entire verse, and I say even this entire passage, is the phrase living hope. You see it there in verse 3? Living hope is the hub. So living hope is the hub, and the spokes of this living hope we see in verse 3 and beyond. Notice the praise of Jesus Christ in verse 3, the mercy of Jesus Christ in verse 3, being born again in Jesus Christ in verse 3, the resurrection of Jesus Christ in verse 3 are all connected to the living hope found only in Jesus Christ. And why is our hope alive as opposed to dead? Peter explains this. It's because of his great mercy. The great mercy of God. The great mercy of God is his kindness to us when we deserved it not. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. When we were helpless, when we were miserable in our sin, it's the mercy of God. You got to look at it as your life. Remember when you were saved in Jesus Christ. God's mercy met you in your misery, in your in your sin, in your death, in your hopeless state, God's mercy met you and in kindness presented to you what you could not earn, what you did not deserve. It's the mercy of God where our hope begins. But then he goes on to say this. He says, well, we have been caused, he has caused us to be born again. And this is why we have so much hope, a living hope. Now, the term born again in our world can often be misused, tossed around inappropriately, and often abused it well. But listen, being born again, that term is absolutely beautiful. To be born again is our hope. To be born again is the proof that we are alive in Jesus Christ. And a theological term for the word phrase born again is regenerated. In Jesus Christ, we have been regenerated, and regeneration is this. It's simply the act of God, the Spirit of God, where he imparts new life to us. No one can be saved apart from being born again. It's when God does it. It's not us and God. Being born again is the secret act of the Spirit of God, where he comes and causes us to be regenerated, to go from death to life. Anyone who's truly in Christ, it begins with being born again by the Spirit of God. So all of us have been born once physically, but in order to have true hope, we all must be born again spiritually. See, I have English roots for the most part, predominantly English roots. I'm not Japanese and I'm not Kenyan. I can try to imitate what it would be like to be Japanese or Kenyan, but I cannot truly become Japanese or Kenyan. The only way that could happen is if I become reborn. If I am reborn, then I will find myself with the ethnicity of being Japanese or Kenyan. See, the Christian life isn't immigration. You don't just blend into new life. You must be born again. And notice in our text, look at verse 3, look carefully. It says, he has caused us to be born again. Is there any mistaking about who's responsible for ultimately for salvation and causing us to become new children, a new life in Christ? He initiates. It's only the Lord who causes us again to be born again in him. So the Christian life is not a fake it till you make it. And a lot of people try to play that game. The Christian life is 100% dependent upon the Lord. That's why we praise him, because he has set us free by faith in his son. We have been caused to be born again. And notice it goes on. There's so much here in verse 3. Caused us to be born again to a living hope. The living hope of heaven through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So notice the glory and the power of the resurrection. It's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Right here in this text, through the resurrection that life is available. Only through Jesus Christ is life available. And here's a good question. Why is the resurrection so important? Why is the resurrection of Jesus Christ the most important and greatest event in the history of the world? It's because of this. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus wasn't just coming back from the dead. Jesus, when he was raised from the dead, became a first fruits of a new kind of life. The first fruits was the harvest term, where the farmer came and presented the first fruits, this sample of the harvest that was to come. When the people saw the first fruits, they rejoiced in saying, what I see here, there's so much more. There's an abundance of fruit yet to come. Jesus Christ has presented as a new kind of life in his new glorified body. He is presenting himself as the first sample of the harvest that is to come, found in the children of God who are saved and washed by his blood. And death is defeated when he is raised from the dead. See, Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sin, but he rose from the dead to affirm that he has defeated sin. And that's why the resurrection is so glorious. And that's why Peter says it right here. He says, we have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus stands before his disciples when he is raised, holding on to a body that cannot perish, that sin and death no longer have any hold on whatsoever. And this becomes our hope as well, that one day we will receive such a body that sin and death and Satan cannot touch, cannot get anywhere near it, because we are perfected in the glory and the power of Jesus Christ. This is just a little bit of verse 3 of this text. Think about what Peter's saying. Why is he telling suffering believers, focus on your salvation, focus on the reality of your hope? Because there's no greater hope-fueling truth than the gospel. There is nothing greater that causes us to not give up and to keep pressing on when we understand we are not dead, we are alive. And listen, when your hope is alive, you understand your soul is alive. And if your soul is alive, ready? If your soul is alive, here's the point. This means you cannot die. Okay, this just in, that's good news. Okay? That's good news for any part of any life and any time in any setting in any place. That is a news that cuts through the hardest trial, that cuts through the biggest lie of Satan, that throws right in the face of our enemy to say, I am alive in Jesus Christ because I've been caused to be born again to live in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and nothing and no one can ever take that away from me ever in any situation ever. You must pack this in your suitcase of hope or you won't make it. I must pack this in our suitcase of hope. Otherwise, I will not make it. You know what's so great about this item in your suitcase? This is an outfit that you can wear every single day. It's an outfit that never gets dirty. It never becomes smelly. It's never out of style. It's always fashionable. Every time you put this on, you will look awesome. Why? Because it's the salvation of Jesus Christ that has set you free, because your soul is alive. So here's what we've done this week for our suitcase of hope, is we have gone to the effort to do this, all right? And here's item number one. When you put this on, love, like, how good do I look right now, eh? Right? And why? Like, it's not me, it's Christ in me. It doesn't matter what people say about me. It doesn't matter what opposition comes. This is my clothing because of the glory and the grace and the mercy of my God. He set me free and now I'm alive. Take that, Satan. Take that. I'm alive in Jesus Christ and I will never, ever die. Life will be hard. Things will get tough. I will be lied to. I will suffer from despair. But in the end, I'm alive and I will never, ever die. If you don't pack this in your suitcase, what are you packing? You have to get this out every day, and you got to make sure if your destination is hope, I'm not a very good folder. I'm going to fold it here, all right? Listen. Get out the suitcase of hope and get that in. If that's not in, I mean, what are you packing? I mean, you know what's massive about this? Everything else that you pack in this suitcase, apart from Jesus Christ, will die. It will rot and stink. Anything other, the only thing that lasts forever is what's built on Jesus Christ. And the first thing we start with is I've been saved in Jesus Christ. But anything else we're putting into here, idols, ambitions of worldly sense, you try to find your hope in that, and you will find out every time it will die, it will rot, and it will stink. But the things of Jesus Christ will not. And so if you're going to make it on this journey, Peter's like, hey, man, you're called to hope. Make sure you understand this. You're alive. Your soul is alive if you've been saved in Jesus Christ. Everything else will fail in its promises. The hope of Christ will press on. Item number two is this. For my suitcase, my inheritance awaits. My inheritance awaits. Look at verse 4 now. It says this. To an inheritance, the hope continues, that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Two things are happening in verses 4 and 5. The first thing that's happening is the inheritance of God's children is being kept in heaven for them. Somebody say hallelujah. I mean, that's just too good to pass over. So our inheritance in Christ, is said right here, is reserved in heaven. It's being kept in heaven for us. Secondly, God's children are being kept. God's children are being kept that they might receive their inheritance, is what it says in verse 5. How powerful is this text? So to those whom God has caused to be born again, they shall also receive an inheritance. And notice this inheritance is described. First of all, this inheritance is imperishable. Meaning this inheritance that is waiting for us right now in heaven. Oh, glory, 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 glory. This inheritance is waiting for me and for you if you're in Christ right now, ready to be revealed at the last time. And this inheritance, man, it's awesome. It is, first of all, it is imperishable. Meaning it will never corrode, never crack, or never decay. Now, everything else is decaying and corroding and cracking. The human body is decaying. I hate to let you know that, but it is. I mean, you are within a human body right now, which is breaking down and decaying. but our resurrected body in Jesus Christ will never, ever suffer such things. It will never fail to weakness. It will never fall to sin. It will never, you will not wake up with the aches and pains ever. You will be perfected in Jesus Christ because our inheritance in Christ is imperishable. You know, I thought over the last month, and last month I've had a root canal. My knee hurts to the point I can't really run anymore. I sleep on my shoulder one side and it just aches for a couple of days. I have arthritis going through most of my joints and all that kind of stuff. And just like, now listen, a lot of you were like, oh yeah, I could triple that list, Simons. All right, and listen, I'm not looking for pity. I'm just letting you know, man, my body's decaying. My body is breaking down and I'm not getting any younger. All right. I'm not looking for a pity party. People are older than me and suffering much more. Okay. That's what I'm doing. I'm just saying the reality is my body's breaking down because that's what happens to the human body, because this world is subject to sin and death. But we look now to the inheritance that is imperishable. And see, this is the whole point of hope, is what are we really longing for? What are we so wrestling? The more that we see our bodies break down in front of us, the more it should cause us to say, I'm living for him, for that which actually matters, my inheritance, which is imperishable. Notice the description goes on. Our inheritance is undefiled. This is an inheritance that has perfect condition. Nothing can tarnish its beauty. And this is in place in contrast to the world we live in, a world polluted by sin, with things like weeds and mosquitoes and earthquakes and war and hatred and death. But the inheritance for the believer is perfection, an inheritance where there's no suffering, there's no sorrow, there's no pain, there's no death. Undefiled, it says. And thirdly, our inheritance is unfading. And this means that our inheritance will never, ever lose its value. Our inheritance will never lose its glory. All the material value in our world is uncertain. All the currency, all the gold, all the real estate, it rises and falls. I mean, think about this. Before you even drive your new car off the lot, it has already begun to fade and break down. It just has. It's the laws of our world. It's the product of sin, but the inheritance for the believer in Jesus Christ, God says your inheritance is perfection. It is unfading. See what I love about our inheritance if you're saved in Jesus Christ? Is you never have to check the value of your portfolio. God sends one statement right here. It's unfading. It's unfading. It is perfect. Take such hope and confidence in that. And then notice in verse 4, with our inheritance, it is kept in heaven for you. It is being kept in heaven for you. The word kept means guarded over. This inheritance from Jesus Christ exists and is waiting for you to arrive. It is kept in heaven for us. Glory. But notice what else is being kept in verse 5. See verse 5? What else is being kept? You are. If you are in Christ, you are being kept. Look at verse 5. It says, who now, not what, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Here's the essence of verse 5. God by his power is guarding over the life of his children. But notice the key word in verse 5. Whom is he guarding over? It's those who have faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. He is not guarding over people who think they're going to heaven because they're a good person. He's not guarding people who think that by their works they will get in. He's guarding over the lives of people who have placed their faith in what only Jesus Christ can do. It's faith that Jesus Christ has died for your sins and he's the only one who can save you. Faith is the determining factor of leading to a hope that understands we have an inheritance and we are being kept as God's children for a time ready to be revealed when Jesus Christ returns. That is so amazingly awesome. So when someone says to me, I say, how long have you been a Christian? And they say, I've been a Christian my whole life. Incorrect. That is theologically impossible. If you are here right now and you think that you've been a Christian your whole life, what does that mean? The Bible says there's no such thing. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. See, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. At some point, you must go from death to life. You could be 3, you could be 13, you could be 63, but at some point, you must go from death to life because you are born into sin equaling death. A lot of people don't like that. That's just so true. It's love. It's what the Bible says over and over again. But the glory is that how long have you been a Christian? Well, you can point to the time. I'm not saying the exact day, but you can point to the time where you know you were dead and now you're alive. because of the faith that is placed in Jesus Christ, that we become his child and we will never, ever be let go. See, when God has caused you to be born again, you're his. You're his forever. God has you kept in his house, in the family of God, and he's waiting to reveal to you his salvation. You see there in verse 5, it says, a salvation ready to be revealed. Loved ones, picture this. You know, a masterpiece painting, and there's a cloth over top of it, and you just imagine that right now, and the cloth is over top, and you're just waiting for the unveiling of the masterpiece. That's what God's got in heaven right now. The masterpiece of how we were designed to be in perfection with him. And one day so soon, that cloth will be removed. And the masterpiece of who you are in Jesus Christ and all its beauty and glory and all because of him, that will be revealed. The question becomes, God is ready. Here's the question. Are we ready? Are we living in such a way that we are ready for our salvation to be revealed? Here's what Peter's doing. When you're filled with hope, you're filled with readiness. When you're filled with hope, you're not filling your suitcase with the world. You're not packing it full of earthly riches and earthly ambitions and self stuff. When you're filled with Jesus Christ and hope in Jesus Christ, you pack this with the things of Jesus Christ. So let's ask that question right now, but let's do it in the negative. Here are the top 5 indications I'm not ready for my salvation to be revealed. Here are the top 5 indications my life is not on the journey of hope as it should. Here's the first indication I'm not ready. Number 1, I live for the here and now. I am living right now for the here and for the now. What does that mean? It means my thoughts, my desires, my ambitions, they are worldly, they are momentary, and they are temporary. If I long for the here and now, then really what I'm doing is I'm thinking about, I want to get more stuff, I want to get nicer stuff, I want material wealth. My hope is placed on things not in Christ. I'm overly concerned about my appearance. I think everything has to do with here. I want people to think well of me. That's a sign you're not ready, according to what God is saying to us today in 1 Peter. Here's the second sign I'm not ready for my salvation. I focus mostly on myself. If truth be told, I'm selfish. I live for me, my peace, my quiet, my comfort, my happiness. I don't think a lot about others because I'm consumed with thoughts of self-gain. See, because I lack eternal hope, then I tend to only dwell in temporary self, and it comes to the point where I get very irritated when my life gets interrupted by people that don't announce themselves and when they want to take my time away from me. That's a sign that I'm not ready for my salvation to be revealed. Thirdly, I am controlling and or fearful. See, because I believe that life is really about now, because I'm so focused on the here and now, I panic to make it as much about me as possible because I feel that this is it. So I start forcing my stuff upon my life. And what this does, it creates fear in me and it creates control in me. And when I do that, I squeeze out God in order to push me in. That's a sign I'm not ready for my salvation. I'm not thinking and looking as I should. Fourthly, I'm generally disappointed, more disappointed than grateful. Generally speaking, I am more disappointed in life than grateful in life. Why? Well, because my expectations are based on a worldly level. And because I'm looking for the world to satisfy me, I'm setting myself up for great disappointment. Because my vision is temporary and on worldly things, then it's only a matter of time before God lets me down and many others in my life. See, because I'm so focused horizontally and I can't see vertically, I place my hope in that which cannot satisfy. So again, I start making people try to fulfill things they can't possibly fulfill in my life. And so therefore, I'm disappointed and I become ungrateful. I will demand from people what they can't deliver. I've misplaced my hope. It's not in Christ. I find myself questioning God's goodness and I often wonder, is God really faithful?
You're listening to Live in the Light with Robbie Simons. Our prayer is as people are impacted by Live in the Light, they would be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. Thanks for joining us today. We hope to see you again next time at Live in the Light.